recognized. The flowers today in the sanctuary and loving of Donald and Ivy Black by their children and their grandchildren. We're starting something new this week, which we're excited about with our youth. This Tuesday night, the youth are going to start meeting at 6:30, and so we want to have something continuous for the youth to do. They've been doing such a great job with different projects. One of the projects last Sunday was cookies. The kids made 720 cookies last Sunday. And speaking of that, please pray for me as I leave tomorrow for Kairos. The Kairos walk is this week, and we're going to be taking in probably over 40,000 cookies. So pray for us for that. There are 30 participants. So it's going to be an incredible week of seeing how God changes lives. Yeah. Way to go, kids. They're awesome. They do such a good job. And we had fun. It was all we could do not to get them to eat all the cookies. But they weren't the only ones. The adults did too. So coming at the end of the month, next Sunday and the Sunday after that, we're going to be hosting a new members class for those that are wishing to join Cook. So if you want to, there's more information on the website, or you can call the church office. We're also, the next Sunday, and the 30th, is our last Sunday to have the special offering for the preschool. Thank you so much for all of you who have contributed so far, but they are really in need of that. So if you wish to give to the ministry, please, you can specify play school on your checks or online, or you can just call in the office. And coincidentally, next Sunday is preschool Sunday, so all the kids are going to be singing, so we're going to have a ton of people here, so it's going to be a fun, exciting day with all the kids. Please check your bulletin for more announcements and upcoming events. Please check the website. Any questions you have, let the ushers know or call the office for Alyssa. So please stand and greet one another as we pass the peace. All right. Let us stand. Continue to stand as we sing our opening praise songs. We are doing a very familiar hymn that you are hopefully will know. We'll worship the King, and the words are on the screen. Turn it on. Sorry about that.
Here we go. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. I shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, the May in its splendor,
song, but very simple song, but it just really focuses our heart on Jesus. And when do we think of Jesus? All throughout the day. God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for an opportunity to worship you here. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that guides all things. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth this day. Through the glory of your Son's name, amen.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, who is mighty and full of glory. His love is unfailing. His faithfulness endures forever.
We come with hearts open, ready to receive His grace.
Let us worship in spirit and in truth, for He alone is worthy.
With joy and thanksgiving, we glorify His holy name.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we gather in Your presence with hearts open to Your Holy Spirit. You are our refuge. You are our strength, our very present help. As we come to worship, quiet our minds, Heavenly Father, lifting up off of us our burdens and filling us with your peace. Lord, may our songs rise like incense, our prayers be a sweet offering, and our hearts be wholly devoted to you. Speak to us today, renewing our faith and moving among us in your power. Come, Holy Spirit, let this time be a time of transformation where we encounter your love and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The scriptures tell us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse from us from any and all unrighteousness. This is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is where we take to God the mess that is our lives and encounter God's amazing grace instead of his condemnation. So join me as we give words to our confession and find a moment of silence in which we can unburden ourselves silently to our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me with the words in this morning's bulletin. Merciful God, we come before you as one people, humbly confessing our sins and our failures to you, love you and one another. Cleanse our hearts, renew our spirit, and strengthen our resolve to walk in your truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful news. This news that it turns the world on its head every time it hears it. It brings joy to everyone who believes heart. Friends, the good news is this, that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ took human flesh and lived and breathed and lived and walked among us. He did so living an innocent and sinless life, but he took upon himself a sinner's, and that is a guilty verdict for us and for our salvation. He did so to clear the way between us and God, making sure that whatever stood between us and God was now forever wiped away, and that we could live in the full fellowship with God our Father throughout this day and into eternity. So friends, I declare to you this good and amazing truth. We are all forgiven in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we make these prayers. Amen. Now let us rise singing what we believe.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again.
Point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward with the time for Mr. Clayton. It's just for them.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Good. You had a good week?
Yes.
Did you play a lot?
Yes.
Did you eat a lot?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just asking, just asking. Cool. Well, tell me something. Have you ever been in a place where you could not see? It was so dark that you couldn't see. Where was that?
A closet.
So you were in a closet. Okay. We won't ask why, but yes. Well, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Sometimes at night when I get up and I'll go to the restroom and I don't turn on the light just because I don't want to blind myself. But when I get up and go, I can't see. But I'm so used to know where I'm going. Luckily, for the most part, I don't run into things. But that's a hard time when you can't see. I was in a cave one time and it was so dark that you could not see. They shut out all the lights and you literally could not see anything. You could wave your hand in front of your face. And that's kind of scary when you're not able to see, isn't it? Well, there's some people who cannot see, and some people are blind from birth. Some people lose their sight later in life. The story today about Jesus is a miracle because Jesus is going to heal a man who is blind. And nobody had ever heard of that. Have you heard of somebody being healed from being blind? No, they hadn't either. And they didn't know how to handle it. They're like, who is this guy? Because they wanted to find out who Jesus was because nobody had ever done that. And the man that was healed was incredibly joyful and happy and he couldn't believe it. And so when you're looking and listening to the story today of how this man gets healed, it's so important to understand that even though physically we see, sometimes we can't see. That means we can't understand what's happening. Have you ever been in a time where you weren't sure and understand what was going on around you? Has that happened before? You weren't sure? Well, good. I'm glad that didn't happen to you because that's happened to me. So today we're going to really focus on sight and seeing. And with God and with Christ, we see the light and we can do what we can to help others when we're through God's love, we're able to see God. Okay? Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us your light. Help us to see you every day in our lives. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wow, right? I could listen to that all day.
Let's I do want to say a quick thing. We are so glad William is here today. William is Charlie's student and has been working with him, and we are so thankful that William is here today. So welcome, William.
Welcome,
thank
William.
You for playing.
So fortunate to have such talented people around us. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just as that music inspired us, Father God, continue by your Spirit's power to inspire us through this reading and proclaiming of your word. Be with us in the reading and in the hearing of how God is doing a new thing through Jesus Christ. Awaken in us our desire to know him more completely, to follow him more fulsomely, and to enjoy him more completely. Be with us, Father God, in this reading and proclaiming of your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 15. It's on the screen behind me, or you can find it in your pew Bible on page 538. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who walks is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
During the course of this week, I changed what I was going to preach on. And so we're actually going to be in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in that chapter the day. And that chapter in your pew Bible, that page in your pew Bible, is 1061, if you want to follow along with us on the ninth chapter. Because I'll be reading the whole chapter. This is one continuous story, and it's really hard to break it up into pieces, so I thought it would just be best to read the whole thing. So here is the ninth chapter of the Gospel of John. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can do work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked him. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know that he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, or who has opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who had acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The story is one all about sight, isn't it? It's the sight given to a man who had been born blind. It reminds me of a story I once saw about an artist looking out of his studio into the world and seeing a beggar on the street corner. He decided that that was a good subject for his art, so he began to draw the man. But what he saw in the man's face, he didn't reflect. What he saw was dejection and sadness and sorrow. But as he drew the painting, what he put into the man's face was inspiration and temerity and the desire to do more good. And so the man took the piece of art to the beggar and showed it. And the man said, that's not me. It can't be me. It doesn't look at all like me. To which the artist replied, yes, it is. I see in you things that you may not even see yourself. He saw that man through the man's distress and knew that he had worth and value and put that into the artist. Now, Jesus is doing that for every one of us today. We have our messes. We have our difficulties. We have our difficult spots. But what Jesus tells us is that he will come into our life and make it better. We see at the beginning of this passage an interesting thing happen. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, at the time, and we got a little taste of it from reading Psalm 15, the Jewish people at the time had a very high sense of what you could control. They really believed that if you did the right thing always, that God was going to bless you. And it was, actually, it was in ignorance of Scripture, honestly. But they did put passages like Psalm 15 into high regard. And for that, they began to believe that you got what you earned in this life. And so for people that were born blind, the belief was this. Either the person blind was a terrible sinner or their parents were. It was one of the two. There was no other options. Can you imagine how hard that would be to live your whole life thinking that you had done something wrong for the cause of your blindness? Well, we get to thinking like that sometimes, too. Sometimes we Christians can be overly fond of a doctrine that we call karma. Y'all have probably heard of it. Karma is actually a Hindu doctrine that basically says you get what you earn. And we all think of that as when somebody does something bad, that got something bad coming toward them, or if they do something good, they've got something good coming toward them. Well, that's a very non-biblical way of looking at things. We in the Christian church believe in grace. In some regards, what that means is that somebody paid the penalty for our debt so that we could get a prize that we did not earn nor never could. That's a two different systems. But in the time of Jesus, the Jews very much believed that this sin was lead to things that were very bad in people's life, like blindness. Jesus says essentially, no, this is done so that neither him nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we're reminded in an instant of Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. We're going to get a story like this again when we get to Lazarus. Lazarus is allowed to die so that God's glory can be manifest. And so this man's blindness, we get the sense of, is just the method by which how God is going to show through Jesus Christ his amazing and restorative power. That through this event, God is able to display what the sign of Jesus is in this, is that he is omnipotent and has power over all things in this natural world. He's able to put spit onto the dirt and form a compound, hearkening back to creation in which he recreates this man's eyes with the mud that he puts on them. He takes the man and then he says, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent, which means that the man is already on a mission. From the very beginning, Jesus sends him to where he needs to be. And that's going to continue as the passage continues itself, isn't it? That this man keeps being brought back in front of officials and his parents, and he has a difficult time. So Jesus puts this mud on his eyes, and we get another sign of Jesus being exactly who he says he is. He's the light of the world. God often works in ways we don't expect through messy, uncomfortable means. Jesus was there working with the man's blindness. He'd been blind from birth, but now he's doing something truly amazing. Your mess may be, in fact, God's method, is what this teaches us. Where are you struggling? What do you have right now in front of you that is causing you to be blind in some fashion to the goodness of the Lord? Because what this passage tells us is that God has the ability to come in and change the dynamic and will for those who believe. He does. This man, he comes into his life and he is given sight yet again. He often works in ways that we don't understand. Sometimes the very mess that we think is going to kill us or set us back is the means by which God is leading us to something even greater. I'll never forget being at First Presbyterian Church in Mount Holly and getting to work with a young woman who had just completed her training to be an operating room nurse. She had done everything necessary and was just now getting off into her profession, which she loved. She loved the intensity of a nurse, an ER. I don't understand it. If you put me in an ER, I wouldn't do very well, I don't think. But she certainly thrived in that environment. She was only doing it for about a year when she got a terrible diagnosis. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and was told that her abilities to be in the operating room were not going to be there and that she needed to leave that part of the nursing profession. She was heartbroken, and she came to the church not knowing really what direction she was going to go in life. We prayed over it, and just she was able to find trust that the Lord was doing something. And Lord, was He? Was He ever? Because over the next year, that woman transitioned from her operating room nurse into working with other MS patients as a nurse. And she said her life was magnified by it. That being able to work with those people who had the same illness that she had really empowered her in a way that she had never experienced before. But if she had taken that first diagnosis as being the only thing that mattered, she would have been quite miserable. But instead, like this man, she found hope and inspiration in the change as it came to her. It was a great, great story to see happen in real life. And what about this man? This isn't just a story of a miracle, because the miracle takes place in the first 5 or 6 verses. What happens afterwards is really a story, a treatise, if you will, on spiritual blindness versus spiritual sight. Because what we see is the man coming to know more and more about Jesus, while the Pharisees, the religious scholars and experts at the time, see less and less about the truth about Jesus. They grow more blind as he gains more sight. He sees physically, but he's certainly seeing spiritually by the end of this passage as well. We know that because of his response. He's questioned, and you get the sense that there's real fear here. Don't miss this. The parents are frightened that they'll be put out of the synagogue. This is the only time in John's Gospel or in the New Testament you're going to find this word. It's aposynagogos, and it means to be put out of the synagogue. And it really means to be excommunicated in a way. To be excommunicated from your spiritual base was what they were doing to people who claimed Jesus was the Messiah. So early on in Jesus' ministry, he had drawn such scorn that there were people actively trying to capture him. We saw it 2 weeks ago in the woman caught in adultery. Remember, the Pharisees there were trying to catch Jesus between the Romans and Jewish law. They're doing the same thing here. They're trying to capture Jesus for doing things on the Sabbath that he shouldn't do. But the man is emphatic, isn't he? If somebody has this power, they must be from God. He's certain of it. And we should look at the progression that this man takes as he encounters Jesus, because it changes. He begins in verse 11, he just called him the man they called Jesus. But then by verse 17, it says he calls the man Jesus a prophet. In verse 33, he says he's from God. And in verse 38, he simply calls him Lord, followed by worship. The man is gaining spiritual sight, while the others who physically can see remain in blindness. The Pharisees are more concerned about Sabbath law than sight restored. They can't make room for grace that doesn't fit in their system. And this mirrors Jesus' critique in Matthew 23:24. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. The man is eventually thrown out of the synagogue. But it shows that in our spiritual struggles that we will grow even when there is adversity against us, because the man continues to become more and more emphatic about Jesus and what Jesus means and who Jesus is. And it's as though his sight returning is allowing him greater and greater insights into who Jesus is. And that is really the whole point of John's gospel. John's gospel really relies on the fact that your salvation is known by how you receive Jesus Christ. Throughout John's gospel, this is a recurring theme. The hour is coming and is now here, is what it says, that those who believe in him will profit and those who don't will go on to their demise. The Bible is very clear in John's gospel that you can know your salvation by how you answer the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you do, your salvation is already secure, kept safe in heaven waiting for you. That's what the Bible says. It's that simple. Jesus has done the hard work, the heavy lifting. He's done the work that we couldn't do. He's done it to save us from ourselves, because we are unfortunately sinners that need God's grace every day. This man, born blind, finds his life changed forever by Jesus Christ. And then at the very end, he bows down in worship. You can't miss this worship. Jesus hears he's been cast out, and then Jesus goes to find him. Now imagine that. Our Lord and Savior, when he knows things are wrong, comes to us. This is something we hear in the Bible, especially when it comes to the lost. Remember, we've got the parable of the one sheep. It tells us that Jesus will leave the flock to go and get the one, won't he, is what the Bible says. And that's why that's so important, that we recognize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We recognize that when we do that, we worship the Lord. There is a need for worship when we really recognize the Lord. Jesus says this, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind." The Pharisees' problem was not lack of sight, but the arrogance of assuming they knew already everything. This is a spiritual trap. When you think you see clearly, you're often blind to your own blind spots. The ultimate goal is faith, not clarity, not even healing. The ultimate goal for us as a Christian is worship. We don't follow Jesus because he fixes things. We follow him because he's our Lord. Is your faith leading you into a deeper surrender and worship today? The story of the blind man is not just about what Jesus did for him. It's about what Jesus did in him. God met him in his mess. God grew him through his struggle. And God revealed himself, leading to worship. May we all do the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, having our hearts righted by the reading and proclaiming of the word. We now lift up to the Lord those people and places and situations and things that cause us distress. The Bible says to cast all our anxieties on the Lord, and we do that through our prayer and through our witness. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you have come to us, each and every one of us, and rubbed dirt in our eyes and allowed us to see truly, spiritually, with the eyes that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Enable us in the days to come to bless you with greater faithfulness, to surround your Holy Spirit with our grateful praise and adoration. Be with us, God, as we ecstatically worship you, just like this blind man many, many years ago that was given sight by our Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to have the same level of commitment. Enable us to answer questions, some even posed maliciously, about our faith when necessary, Father God. Enable us to answer with the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Father God, we pray for all of those who are on Cook's prayer list, but today we especially pray for Jack McClure, Marcia Sifford, Ezra Petit, Pam Crosby, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith. We continue our prayers for the wildfire victims in California and the hurricane victims in North Carolina. And we pray for the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer. We think of Nan as she prepares for surgery, and others. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. Sorry about the trespasses. I must have been hanging out with some Methodists recently. Jesus Christ has given us our sight, and we are blessed for it. We recognize that Jesus Christ is Savior, and for that we know that our safety and security is kept safe in heaven for us. But now it becomes incumbent upon us to go out these doors and to share with the world the good news that inspires us, that awakens us to come and worship Jesus Christ, that Christ is Lord. He is coming again, and we will all look forward to that day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. Oh.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
To the prayer room. It's open today.